I'm going to tell you this. When I die, I want you to remember that you need to love God and that you need to love others. Because it doesn't matter how many church services you attend. It doesn't matter how many Bible classes you hear. It doesn't matter how many worship songs you sing at home. If you're not loving God and you're not loving others, you've missed it. I want to say to you that you may be thinking to yourself, why am I here? As a matter of fact, I was talking to somebody not too long ago. I was at a restaurant and talking to them, and we were talking about what I did. Somehow they found out that I was a minister, and after they found out I was a minister, and they realized that I was not going to hit them over the head with a Bible, they wanted to ask questions. And one of the questions they asked was, what's the point of going to church? What's the point? Can't you, and this person claimed to be a Christian, can't you just be a Christian and not go to church? And of course, my answer to them, a Christian without a church family is an orphan. And nobody wants to be an orphan. And I went on to say there's purposes in being in a church, and we went over some of those things, and today I want to go over it with you. I was not preparing this lesson when I talked to them, but after I talked to them, I prepared this lesson, because the next time somebody asks me, what's the point, or better yet, why am I here at a church, I want to be sure that I have good answers. If you remember when we started this series, Why Am I Here? I had on the front of your sermon notes, what's the purpose of the church? And the first thing is to experience God through worship. You're here to experience God through worship. One of the things that I really love about the church here is the a cappella singing. Amen? And the reason why I like that is not just because you guys sound good. The reason why I like a cappella singing is because it's not the person up front that's doing the worshiping and we are being entertained by them. When you sing a cappella, you are worshiping God. And that's what we do here is we want everybody to worship, not just the worship leaders, not just a few people. We want everybody to worship God because one of the purposes of the church is for you to experience God through worship. Number two, to belong to a family. To belong to a family. And you saw or you heard a couple of cards that were read, the things that are happening, people that are leaving us, people that have gone through some tough times. And I have been with several of our members as we've been talking about what they're going through. And over again, they have talked to me about the support they have received from other church members. You see, you need a church family. You need to belong to a family so that we can take care of you and you can help take care of us. My mom was talking about way back when my brother ruined motorcycles for all of us. He got on a motorcycle, didn't know what he was doing, and he went off to the side and tore up his knee, and he was in the hospital for a couple of days, and they had to do surgery and all that. And from that point on, there was no talk of motorcycles in our household ever again. But what she was saying was it was during that time my dad was out of town, and she said church members just came in and took over taking care of us and making sure what we need. Number three, the purpose of the church is to know God through His Word. To know God through His Word. The preaching that is done here on Sunday morning is to help you to get to know God. The teaching that goes on here in Bible classes is to help you to get to know God. And the best way to know God is through His Word. Amen? Because a lot of us have it in our mind what God is and what we think God should be. But it is God's Word that tells us who God is. And number four, to minister to the needs of others. We've got Messengers of Hope that's coming up. We have other things that we do where we minister to the needs of others. And we do it as a church, but we also do it as individuals. Because one of the things that happens here that I see consistently is someone will have a prayer request, someone will have a need, and there are dozens, if not three dozen, women in this church that send cards regularly to encourage others. And I want to say this to you, because this is very important for you to know. The most encouraging thing that you can do for others, regardless of what they're going through, is to just love them. Just love them. I have been going out into this world, constantly meeting new people, constantly connecting with people. As a matter of fact, Shaq and I were talking about the fact that my career is preaching, but my calling is people. Because I love being around people. I like meeting new people. I like meeting strange people. I like talking to crazy people. You name it, I just love people. That's my calling. And the thing that I hear over and over again when I'm meeting people is they don't feel loved. And we need to be people that take that love to others. Number five, I have in your notes, it says to win others to Christ. But I want you to cross out win, and I want you to write in bring others to Christ. I want you to put in there, bring others to Christ, because we really don't win others to Christ, do we? Christ wins them. We just bring them. Amen? And that's our job, is to bring others to Christ. So open up your lesson notes. The biblical purpose of the church is found in two passages. The very first passage is Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And that is the Great Commission. If you've been in the church any time at all, you've heard the Great Commission. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He is saying, this is your commission. This is what you are to do. This is what the church is going to be about. You have a commission. You have a job to do. You weren't saved just to be saved. You have a job now that you have been saved. And that's the Great Commission. The second thing, as a church, we have to fulfill the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. I know you're getting tired of me reading that scripture to you. But I'm going to tell you this. When I die, I want you to remember that you need to love God and that you need to love others. Because it doesn't matter how many church services you attend. It doesn't matter how many Bible classes you hear. It doesn't matter how many worship songs you sing at home. If you're not loving God and you're not loving others, you've missed it. And I will go to my grave preaching that we are to love God and love others. I would rather preach on that than anything else. Because I believe that a lot of times we get sidetracked on knowing the Greek or the Hebrew of certain words as being more important than getting out and loving others. We feel like it's better to be in a Bible class on Thursday morning or Thursday night than getting out in the world and loving others. You see, our job here on earth as a church is to love God and love others. And if we're not doing those two things, guess what? We've missed the purpose of being a church. Look at what it says here in your notes. A great church is one that is living out the Great Commission and the Great Commandments. A great church is one that is living out the Great Commission and the Great Commandments. I've got here the fivefold purposes of the church. Number one, or letter A, is worship. One of the pillars of this congregation is worship. And we've got some great people in this church that know how to lead singing. Ray just does a fantastic job. And I got to tell you, I cannot help it, but every time Ray gets up here, I want to sing a little of ZZ Top, okay? You know, going down to LaGrange or something. I don't know. He just reminds me of those guys. But Steve did a great job today. I love Ron Moore's prayer. You see, we've got great people leading in worship, but you know what it comes down to? It comes down to you. It comes down to you whether or not you're going to worship. And I got to tell you, for a lot of people, it's kind of hard to understand worship. They say, Neil, you know, how do you worship? And I, mostly the guys that have asked me this, I will tell them, I said, all right, you need to know that you already know how to worship. And they said, what? Yeah, you know how to worship. I said, you remember when you saw that girl for the very first time and you thought, oh, I just adore her? You see, that's a form of worship. But when you worship God, you adore Him, but you also give Him reverence. And so it's a little bit of adoring God, and it's also a little bit of being in awe of God. It's kind of like if you had a good father, you loved your father, but you also were scared of him when you were in trouble. Amen? So the letter B is discipleship. Discipleship. Of the fivefold purposes of the church, discipleship is the second one. And discipleship is something we all need to be doing. And sometimes we are doing it, we don't even realize we're doing it. I know that discipleship is one of those things that you go, well, I really don't know what we're doing with discipleship. But discipleship is having those close relationships in your life so that when you're getting off track a little bit, they can bring you back in. Discipleship is when you teach somebody the same things that you have learned through experience. I always call it the dumb tax. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, well, you know, Neil, how do you know this? I said, well, because I made all these mistakes early in my life. I paid the dumb tax for you. You don't have to pay them. And so the thing of it is when we disciple others, we also are being discipled by others. And my question for you today is, who are you discipling? And who is discipling you? Because if you don't have a close relationship with somebody that you can disciple or somebody that is discipling you, guess what? You're not fulfilling the fivefold purpose of the church. And that's the reason why you have to have a church. Now, I'm going to just give a shameless plug right here for Jason. The best way to find somebody that you can disciple or that can disciple you is through life groups. Did you hear that? Jason himself agrees with me. Of course, if you don't know that, Jason's the head of our life groups. But the reason why we have life groups is not to give you something else to do in your walk, in your daily life. The reason why we have life groups is because you need to have people in your life that are going down the same path you are. People that can show you where the potholes are, people that can show you where the dips are, and people that can help you with your walk with God. Letter C is fellowship with God and with each other. Letter C is fellowship, and that's just with God and with each other. You need to have fellowship with other people. It's one of those things that you don't really realize that you need until you don't have it. There was a show that I think it may still be on, and it was called, I think it was called Alone, and they put these people out in the middle of nowhere by themselves and let them survive. And I think, right, the shows that I watched, it was called Alone, I believe, the shows that I watched, I think the hardest thing about that was the lack of companionship. As a matter of fact, some of them would start talking to themselves as the show went on. And they made them have cameras, and they used the cameras as a sounding board. And a lot of times they filmed themselves just so alone and feeling so bad for themselves. You have to have fellowship. I was talking with my brother, Leonard Cole, this morning. We were having fellowship, and he didn't even realize it. But we were talking this morning. We were having fellowship together, and we were talking about things, and we were talking about the need for other people in our lives. Maybe this was Jason I was talking to. I don't remember. I was fellowshipping with someone. But if you don't have close friends at church, if you don't find somebody that you can connect to at church, guess what? Within 6 months of being here, you're going to be gone because you've not made those connections. Everybody needs to make those connections. And let me just tell you a little secret that I learned a long time ago. If you want to have a friend, you need to be a friend. I remember a guy that was visiting at previous church I was preaching at, and he came in late, and he sat in the back. And those of you who are sitting in the back right now, I know the only reason why you're sitting back there is because there's no seats up front. So this is not directed at the back seaters. But he would come in the back with his family, and he would sit in the back, and then he would leave. And after about 3 months of sitting in the back and then leaving, he came to me and he said, "Neil, me and my family are going to go look for another church." And I said, "Well, I am so sorry to hear that. Why is that? Is it something I did?" "No, Neil, we love your preaching. We love you, but we want to let you know we're going to go look for another church." And I said, "Well, what happened? Why are you going to go look for another church?" "Well, we've been coming here for 3 months, and nobody talks to us. Nobody asks us how we're doing." And I just looked at him and I said, "Well, you leave and you go to another church, but you're going to have the same thing happen because it's you, it's not them." And they go, "What?" I said, "It's you, it's not them." I said, "You sit in the back, you come in late, you don't make connections with anybody, you don't have anything to do with anybody. You go to the next church, the same thing's going to happen." Well, he got mad, and I didn't care. Next week, he came back, and guess what he did? Is he came in early, and he sat up front, and the people that were sitting around him started talking to him. And within a month, he had friends, and he was having fellowship. And I went up to him, and I said, "When are you leaving?" Not really. Letter D, ministry. You know, you weren't saved just to be saved. You were saved to serve. That's what it is. That's why you were saved. You weren't saved because you're so great that God wanted to save you. God has a purpose in saving you, and that is to serve. We're to be Christ-like. If there was ever an example of somebody on this earth that served, it was Christ. He gave up the throne of heaven to come down to earth to serve mankind. And we can't get out of our easy chair to go across the street and help our neighbor. We are called to be servants. And letter E is evangelism. Is evangelism. You need a church to help you evangelize. You see, there's going to be people in your life that they're going to ask you about your salvation. They're going to ask you about your walk with God. And you have a story, but when you have your story and somebody else has that story with you, guess what it does? It multiplies that story. You see, when Jesus sent his disciples out, he sent them out two by two, and he did that for a reason, because you are better when you go with someone. And what is the easiest thing for you to do is to say, "Come see." That's the easiest thing you can do in evangelism. Well, through the church, there's five things that we are here for. Letter A is to grow warmer through fellowship. To grow warmer through fellowship. Shaq turned the air conditioning down today, so this will help you stay warm through fellowship. But the thing that you need to know is you need those close ties. You need those close people. There are a lot of people in the church that I know that they don't have those close ties. They don't have those people they hang out with. And unfortunately, as much as I'd like to be everybody's best friend. That's just the way God wired me, but I can't do it. There's not enough hours in the day. And besides that, Nancy wants to see me once in a while. But here's the thing. You need to have that fellowship. You need to grow warmer through fellowship, closer through fellowship. Letter B, why are we here, is to go deeper through discipleship, to grow deeper through discipleship. And I love that because it's not just about learning. You know, we come in here, we learn things, but it's also putting it into practice. My brother Ray, after class this day, I taught class this morning. For those of you who weren't in here, you missed a really good class, okay? I'm just saying. But after class, my brother Ray came up to me and he says, Neil, something I learned a long time ago that's helped me in terms of reaching out to people, is he said, the young man says, I just asked the waitress, can we pray for you? And Ray's been doing that. And so what he's doing here is he's discipling me. He's saying, this is a good way to reach out to others, is just ask them, can I pray for you? And one of the things he has learned in that is there's a lot of people that are hurting, that it's just nice to know that somebody's praying for. Letter C, so that we can grow stronger through worship. So that we can grow stronger through worship. I don't know how you feel about Sunday mornings. I mean, I got to tell you, there was a time when Sunday morning came around and I got to sleep in a little bit, but not as much as I wanted. And I was going to church. I mean, that's what we did. We went to church. But I never got stronger through worship. That's the reason why when I give the invitation, I always say, if you've come here today and you've truly worshiped, you're going to leave here changed. Something's going to happen. It could be a communion service. Could be a song that's being sung. It could be the word that's being preached. Could be a prayer that you heard today that's going to change you. And if you leave here without being changed, you haven't truly worshiped. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to Sunday mornings, I'm like an addict. I've got to get my fix. I look forward to Sunday mornings, and it's just incredible to me. I woke up at 3:30 this morning excited about being here. You see, coming to be with you, to worship with you, is like Christmas Day for me 52 days out of the year. Because I get to come in and I get to see people that I love. I get to see people that love Jesus. And I'm going to just tell you right up, you guys are weird. I mean, everybody in here is weird in some way. You know what? One of the things I thought was really interesting, I thought of the other day, that half of the people in this worship service today, just by definition, half of you in the worship service today are below average. I mean, just think about that for a minute. And you know, some of you look funny too. But guess what? I don't care how you look, how smart you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how weird you are. I love being with you. And I love your weirdness, your faults, and your ugliness. And it's not the ugliness from the outside. It's the ugliness that's on the inside. Because Christ died for you. And when you put him on in baptism, you became my brother and my sister. And no matter what you got going on in your life, you're my family now. And I love you. Letter D, broader through ministry. We are to grow broader through ministry. I think the biggest mistake that we make in the church is we make it about Bible classes and we make it about learning different things and I love the fact that people want to dive deep in the Word, but what I would really like to see happening is people going out into the world and being Christ to the world. That's what we really need. That's what the church really needs, and that's called ministry. Like I said before, you were called. You were saved to serve. That means you die to yourself. That means when the neighbor next to you needs his grass cut, you cut it for him, even though you don't want to. That means you take care of people and you go out of your way to be with them and to love them. And the biggest thing you can do in ministry is not necessarily monetarily or physically or materially. The biggest thing you can do in ministry is to love them. And letter E, we're going to grow larger through evangelism. We're going to grow larger through evangelism. You know what the problem is with a great small church? Is it's not going to stay that way. It's not going to stay that way. I got to tell you, this church is one of the best churches, I hands down, that I've ever been a part of. And the reason why I say that is because when people come to visit, guess what happens? They feel your love. They know that they're loved when they come in here. We've got great worship. The singing is fantastic. Amen. The preaching is superb. Amen. Don't laugh. But the point I'm saying here is it's not to preaching, it's not to singing. You know what it is? It's the individuals connecting with other individuals, because there are so many people in this world that are looking for a family and they don't even know it. And the greatest compliment I receive is when I talk to a visitor, and whether they come back or not, they will say this: that is the most loving church I've ever been a part of. So why am I telling you all this? It's because we as a church have a reason to be here. And it's not for us. It's for the world, and it's for Christ. And I'm telling you this is because on October the 26th, the elders are going to roll out some vision plans. And I'm going to just say right up front, some of you are going to say, I don't know about this. And some of you are going to say, wow, this is a really great idea. And some of you are going to say, well, it's time for me to find another church because they're going to grow. Well, if that's the way you feel, go find another church. But this church, God's church, is going to fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, because that's what makes a great church. If you're here today and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, whether you need to be baptized or you need to ask for the prayers of the church, will you come as we stand and sing?